Someday those nuts behind the wheel of cars and trucks will be replaced with nobody behind the wheel. The Transportation Department, during the Obama administration, established an advisory committee of transportation industry executives to help it establish policy for autonomous vehicles. One participant was Chris Spear, president and CEO of the American Trucking Association, and he joins me now. Mr. Spear, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tom, for having me.
So tell us what happened in that meeting, first of all.
Well, I think it was an initial launch. Secretary Fox spent quite a bit of time since fall of 2016 to assemble a group of people from diverse backgrounds to come in and really kind of put some detail around, you know, what autonomous vehicles and driving would look like. I kind of contend that this is a type of technology that would probably not be widely adopted for another couple decades, but the debate is happening right now. And so if you look at the list of people that were brought together by Secretary Fox, it was really to help them, inject a bit more reality and truth around, what's happening throughout the country and globe pertaining to this technology. And not just cars, but trucks. And, it's an important element to it as we share the road. And, we pay half the trust fund. We move, 70% of the freight in this country. So we kind of feel like we've got a stake in this game. And, having some dialogue around how trucks, can safely operate, be more environmentally friendly, alleviate congestion. That's good for the economy. It's certainly good for our industry. So, there's some real key drivers there. And indifferent to the automotive sector where, automotive companies are trying to market this technology to consumers like you and me, ours is a business-to-business transaction. It's truck OEMs and software companies that are developing autonomous technologies for carriers and their businesses. And if there's a good ROI there, they're more likely to purchase it and probably do so much faster than the auto world. So yeah, I think it's a pretty diverse bunch. We're happy to be part of it. And now with the new administration in place, we're kind of on hold as folks take their
That was my question. Have you heard any signs at all from the new administration whether they plan to continue this effort toward the autonomy policy?
Not a lot of detail yet. I was over meeting last Tuesday with Secretary Chow, and she did ask about our interests on this subject. And obviously, as I just shared with you, it's pretty steep. We're very interested. We certainly want to be a continued participant as the new administration fills those seats and gets a better sense of the direction they want to go with this issue. Obviously, they've got a pretty good bunch of stakeholders already assembled, and we'll take our cues from the secretary once she's ready to go. I think right now our focus, obviously, is making certain they're staffed out, and that takes time. Transitions, can last a good 3 months at a minimum just to get the senior tiers in place. But you got a lot of people over there to fill vacancies that are relevant to autonomous discussions. So we need to give her a little bit of time to breathe and make certain those positions are filled out and ready so we can have good discussions going forward.
Now, you mentioned the word carriers. By that, I envision trucks with 14 or 18 or 22-wheelers as opposed to local delivery and the Amazons and the FedExes and the UPSs. Is that a good distinction?
Yeah, I mean, our membership at ATA, for instance, is very, very diverse. I mean, when we look at carriers, it's not just, the types of trucks, but it's the types of segments that represent our carriers. I mean, we've got everything from truckload, long haul, meaning lighter than truckload, which is more like the FedEx, UPS, Old Dominion models. We've got tank trucks. We've got ag haulers, auto haulers. It's a very diverse mix. Some are very short haul, some are regional, and some are long. So the business models for each of those segments are a little bit different. So the value proposition is going to change depending on, what the type of technology is going to do. So, you've got companies out there that are developing things that are probably of interest to different segments. It's certainly not going to be something that's universal. And then we get into the debate about whether it's driverless versus driver assist. And I think our focus largely across the board in our industry is driver assist. I think we're a long, long ways, decades out before we see driverless. you're still going to need drivers to navigate the cityscapes, do the pickups and deliveries. What we're really talking about is the long-haul values. And you see that in the airline industry today. I mean, we have pilots still in the cockpit, even though, you know, cockpits are heavily automated. Long haul, they hit the autopilot, but you still have pilots navigating, you know, circumstances that arise, you know, basing, you know, on different conditions that the plane encounters in the air, but also the takeoff and landing. So I think we're looking at that through the same lens of the trucking industry and saying, how can this technology really give us some good defined value?
We're speaking with Chris Spear, President and CEO of the American Trucking Association. And what about owner-operators, which is kind of a different ownership model where the guy that owns the truck drives it? What have you heard them say about this?
Well, I've had conversations with OIDA and their leadership about this. And, you know, I think they've got some legitimate concerns, particularly as it relates to mandates of technology. Yeah, that's not really where I'm looking and the ATA is looking. We're looking at innovation and how can innovation and technology really solve big ticket problems. And their problems are no different than some of the large carriers. When you're sitting in congestion, it doesn't matter if you're an owner operator or someone running for FedEx or UPS, you're still sitting there. And we spend, as an industry, $49.6 billion on congestion, just lost revenue every year. That's almost equally matched for passenger vehicles. So $100 billion in our economy is lost to just bottlenecks and sitting in traffic. And think about what that does to the driver's morale. You know, driver retention goes down if they're not getting paid or moving. So that's applicable to OIDA. So if you can generate less congestion through technology, if you can lower the amount of fuel burn, those are huge measurable returns to any size carrier, whether they're one truck or you know, thousands of trucks. So if you look at it through that lens, innovation can solve a lot of problems that I think are of interest to our industry, no matter who you are. So I'm trying to really advocate innovation first. Innovation drive the outcome. We wouldn't be having this conversation right now if it weren't for some really brilliant people developing this technology. The government's not doing that. It's the private sector that's doing that. And we should really, you know, unleash the full potential of government and enable that innovation to really thrive. And then once we've got everything on the table, we can figure out, you know, what the framework needs to look like, whether it needs to be regulated and so on. But I think we're a long ways out from that. We just let those innovators drive it.
But the way you describe it is there's a macro benefit of less congestion, which is a huge economic benefit in terms of how much fuel is burned, how much time people spend in low productivity situations. And that translates down to individual benefit for the people in individual vehicles. Is that what transportation officials, again, we're speaking the Obama administration, but I think this is a fairly non-political type of issue. Is that what they were looking for in terms of what they hope policy will produce?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there was any hidden agenda here. Certainly no political agenda. I think, you know, every administration has different paths it takes to go about, you know, generating dialogue and outcomes. And I'm sure that the Trump administration will have some differences in their approach from the Obama administration. But, you know, my point here is to be very clear about government's place in this. We're in a homework stage. The government needs to get out of D.C., out of their cubicles, and get out into the real world and understand firsthand what this technology could do. They need to get into the trucks. They need to meet with the OEMs. They need to meet with the software companies and really do a deep dive to understand the direction that innovation is going. And then take a step back and say, how does all that impact my current stable of regulations? My existing FMCSRs.
Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations.
So in our world, say, hours of service. Your drivers have an 11-hour clock on the amount of time they can drive. Well, if you're in a level 3 vehicle and you're multitasking, you're within reach of the wheel, but you can do other things. Does that count, that time not actually driving and hands on the wheel, count against your 11 hours? They need to take hard looks at those types of existing FMCSRs, electronic logging devices, speed limiters. These are all things that get, quite frankly, absorbed in an integrated solution involving autonomous tech. Now, you got to do that before you even start talking about regulation. I've been quick to tell folks around D.C., Look, if we had led with regulation in the 50s, we would never have left Earth's atmosphere. It was innovation that drove that. It drove us into the space race. It wasn't regulation. And, this is some pretty amazing technology, and we need to really, embrace it and let innovation drive those outcomes and see if we can solve some big-ticket problems. I'm excited about that. There's a lot of unknowns. You've got cybersecurity, you've got liability, privacy. Those things need to get addressed, but I think that'll come, and hopefully the advisory committee can help the government, answer some of those questions as we go forward.
At this point, though, no next meeting scheduled.
Not right now. I think you allow the secretary and the administration some time to breathe. They're 3 weeks in. They got a lot of key positions, including NHTSA and FMCSA to fill. Obviously FCC's got a role in this with Spectrum, EPA with emissions, DHS from our world from hazardous materials. I don't think we want to have hazardous cargo rolling down the road with nobody in the cab, not in a nicest world. So, these are some elements to it across the administration, not just DOT, that I think those positions need to get filled before we reconvene. But I would hope to have the next meeting in the coming weeks.
Chris Spear is president and CEO of the American Trucking Association. Thanks so much for joining me.
You bet, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We'll post a link to the advisory committee's activities and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.